श्री उतप उवाच वदन्ति कृष्ण श्रेयांसि बहूनि भ्रमपादिनः तेषां विकल्पप्राधान्यम् उथाहो एकमुख्यता श्री उद्धव उवाच वदन्ति कृष्ण श्रेयांसि बहूनि भ्रमवादिनः तेषां विकल्पप्राधान्यम् उथाहो एकमुख्यता श्री उद्धव उवाच वदन्ति कृष्ण श्रेयांसि बहूनि ब्रह्मवादिनः तेषां विकल्पप्राधान्यम् उथाहो
Sri Uddhava said, Vadanti, they speak, Krishna, my dear Krishna, Sriyamsi, processes for advancement in life, Bahuni, many. Brahmavadinaha, the learned sages who have explained the Vedic literature. Tesham, of all such processes. Vikalpa, of varieties of perception. Pradhanyam, supremacy. Uta, or. Aho, indeed. Eka
of
one.
Mukhyata,
being most important. Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Krishna, the learned sages who explain Vedic literature recommend various processes for perfecting one's life. Considering these varieties of viewpoint, my Lord, please tell me whether all these processes are equally important or whether one of them is supreme." Purport. In order to clearly establish the exalted position of bhakti yoga, or pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Uddhava requests Lord Krishna to identify the supreme among all processes of self-realization. Not all Vedic processes lead directly to the ultimate goal, pure love of God. Some only gradually elevate the consciousness of the living entity. For the purpose of giving a general outline of the process of self-realization, sages may discuss the various methods of elevation. But when the time comes to ascertain the most perfect process, the secondary methods must be cleared from the path. Om Magyantimidandasya Gyananjana Chalakhaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadam Mayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahagana Raghunatham Vitham Tham Sajivam Sadvaitham Savadutham Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Thapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyai Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Grateful to be at your service once again. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, entitled Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System, Text Number 1. Transcendental knowledge, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes to be like a seed. Bhakti Lata Bija. When we come in contact with great devotees of the Lord, Vaishnavas, that seed is awakened within our heart. Along with the seed comes the instructions of how to help that seed to grow. In this world of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada explains, if you buy a complex machine, the manufacturer gives you a manual of how to use it. So Krishna comes again and again in this world. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapadhartaya sambhavami juge juge. To remind us of what the purpose of life is. Why we're suffering. What is the solution to suffering? And how to actually realize and experience that solution. So in each of these great dialogues between Krishna and his devotees, Krishna sets a scene which invokes a sense of emergency. Because it's not just about knowing. It's about taking shelter, ashray. Unless we take shelter of the knowledge we're receiving, and taking shelter means taking it as the most serious purpose of our life, to hear with a sense of urgency, and to follow what we hear as a necessity, the only true necessity of our life. Krishna didn't just casually speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He put him between two armies. At the dawn of the greatest war that was ever fought. And Arjuna could see his own relatives, his teachers, his friends, his loved ones on both sides. He understood the result of the suffering that would take place due to this war. And also all the suffering that would take place if he didn't fight this war. And Arjuna, being the most eminent of all the warriors, along with his brothers, they had to take the full responsibility. Karpanya doso pahata svabhava. He was in such a state of confusion, bewilderment, pain. He dropped his bow. His mouth became dry. His complexion white, pale. Limbs trembling. Tears pouring from his eyes. Krishna, I don't know what to do. I'm your disciple. I'm taking shelter of you. Please enlighten me. You see, even the best seed, if it is not planted in soil that is fertile, it will not properly grow. A fertile heart is a heart that has lolium, that has profound eagerness to hear and to apply the message to one's life, to take shelter. Without hunger, you cannot digest food. If you have no digestion, even if someone puts the most nutritious and delicious of all foods in front of you, it makes you sick. Or if it doesn't make you sick, you really want to eat it, but you can't. Either way, there's no benefit. So similarly, in order to digest Krishna's mercy when it comes to us, we require that sense of taking shelter, necessity. And it was in this light that the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Multiply that by many times, and we have the scenario that we're reading about today, the Uddhava Gita. Uddhava is Krishna's constant companion, dearest friend. But even more difficult than what Arjuna saw, Uddhava could understand that the entire Yadu dynasty was about to vanquish each other. Another fratricidal war. Arjuna could do something about the Kurukshetra war, but Uddhava couldn't do anything about what was about to happen. And multiply that by millions of times, and Uddhava could understand that after this great battle of the Yadus, Krishna was going to leave the world. And Krishna wanted Uddhava to stay. Such a crisis. Uddhava could see it all unfolding before his eyes. There's nothing he could do about it except come before Krishna and take shelter. That was the mood that Arjuna and Uddhava exemplified. Mahajuno yena katasa bandha. If we want to understand transcendental knowledge, if we want to actually make true spiritual advancement on the path of love for Krishna, we must follow in the footsteps of great souls. Here's the greatest of all warriors, Arjuna, most heroic and fearless of all people on earth. And here's Uddhava, who's more learned than Brihaspati. The guru of the devatas. Krishna's dearest friend. And they were helpless. So when difficulties come into us in this world, however inconceivable, indescribable, we have a context in which to understand it. That the entire material creation, it's not to enjoy, it's not to suffer, it's to facilitate taking shelter of Krishna. And all the happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, birth and death, they're all simply providing opportunities to take shelter of Krishna.
Uddhava is here asking this question. He already knows everything. But by Krishna's own arrangement, he's not just artificially pretending he doesn't know. He's in a state of mind where he really needs to take shelter, and he is taking shelter. And his feeling of deep compassion for all living beings. He knows Krishna's mission. Krishna came to this world to attract people to his eternal abode of pure devotional service. This is the Antya-lila of Krishna's lila. It's his final pastimes. So Uddhava is there to assist Krishna, to teach the world. Parikshit Maharaj was in a similar state. Srimad Bhagavatam was not spoken to a king while he was sitting on his throne, surrounded by his family members. He was speaking to a king who was cursed to die in 7 days. And from a material perspective, such a humiliating way it happened. Going down in history in this way. His whole life was serving great souls. And yet, at the conclusion, he offends a great soul. And that's the cause of his death. From the time of his being in the womb of his mother, Parikshit Maharaj was in love with Krishna, wanted to be the servant of Krishna, looking for Krishna, observing the whole universe and every living being to find Krishna, and ways to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Following in the footsteps of his forefathers, his whole life was serving those who love Krishna, the great souls. And now at the very end, in a state of yogamaya, perplexity, he puts a dead snake around the neck of a great devotee, Samigrishi. This is, after a whole life of serving Vaishnavas, this is how he has to go. And he was Maharaj, he was a great king, powerful. He subdued Kali personified. He traveled the entire earth and wherever there was any corruption, he conquered. Such a hero. And yet at the end, he's cursed by an 8-year-old boy. Not only an 8-year-old boy, but a Brahmin. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Krishna loves Brahmins. And Parikshit Maharaj loved Brahmins. He's being cursed by a Brahmin. He's only 8 years old. Quite humiliating. It wasn't a secret. The word spread all over the universe instantly. Faster than Instagram. How is it possible? Vishwamitra Muni, Vasishtha Muni, Parvat Muni, Narada Muni, Vyasdev. They came from different planets. Vyasdev is living in Badrikashram, Adi Badri, they all came instantly. When Parikshit Maharaj went to Sukatala, under that banyan tree on the bank of the Ganga, by the time he arrived there, all the sages were waiting for him. That was the day he was cursed. So Please understand that the mystic yogic cities that all these great sages had in those days was far more efficient than all our technology today. But they all used it for the right purpose. They didn't use it for prajalpa and gossip. They used it for the highest purpose of life. So when Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, what is the purpose of life? What is the highest occupation and duty for a person about to die? And what is the essence of all the great spiritual literatures and teachings? He was not asking casually. He was a great devotee of Krishna. Why did he ask so many questions in Srimad Bhagavatam about so many preliminary subject matters? Because he understood that Krishna came to earth to show compassion to all living beings. So Arjuna, Parikshit, they ask questions for the benefit of everyone, for the pleasure of Krishna, as is Uddhav in this verse today. My dear Krishna, the learned sages who explain Vedic literature recommend various processes for perfecting one's life. Considering these varieties of viewpoint, my Lord, please tell me whether all of these processes are equally important or whether one of them is supreme. Krishna's response, he begins by describing the nature of material creation. It's darkness. Ignorance. Unless we take shelter of a higher power that gives us light, we will be in darkness. And the worst situation is when we think darkness is good. When we think darkness is light, then there's no possibility of ever coming out of that darkness. So Krishna tells Uddhava how every time Lord Brahma goes to sleep, when he wakes up, there's darkness all around him. At the beginning of creation, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye, it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the very nature of the universe from the beginning. Brahma is born from the lotus flower of Garbho Dakshayi Vishnu. And he looks around and sees in all directions what appears to be never-ending ocean of darkness. If he put his hand in front of his face, he couldn't see it. It was just darkness. Everywhere. As far as he could see, nothing else exists. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, what he's supposed to do, how to do it. So, what are you going to do in that situation? These stories are not just meant to think, oh, Brahma went through that. We're actually supposed to try to understand it by what would we do in that situation? Because that's the situation we're in spiritually in this world. We're in darkness, but we think we see. So Brahma started climbing down the lotus flower, the stem. And there was just darkness everywhere. And when he got lower and lower and lower, he heard this roaring sounds, and somehow or other he was allowed to see just enough, this massive ocean of waves crashing. So that was obviously not where he was supposed to go. So he went back to where he came from. And he took shelter. Here's Brahma, the most powerful being in the universe. And he's helpless, taking shelter. We think we're great. This story exposes everyone. And because he took shelter, Krishna gave him the instruction to perform tapasya, to meditate. Not just some impersonal meditation. He was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, taking shelter completely. And then from the darkness came light. Krishna appeared to him. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna shook his hand. And he enlightened Brahma's heart from within and without. And he understood exactly what he was supposed to do and why. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmoy Sri Gurave Namah. That's the way we're supposed to approach the great souls, our gurus, that were born in the darkness of ignorance, like Brahma. And Krishna, who's the Adi Guru, the original guru, he gives us light. Evam parampara praptam. And through disciplic succession, Krishna gives that same light. Brahma's the original guru. Why? Because he's the original disciple. Brahma gives that light to Narada, to Vyasadeva, through parampara. So Krishna's explaining, every time it's nighttime for Brahma, when he wakes up, it's darkness, and he doesn't know exactly what to do. You see, if there's a strong flowing river going downstream toward the ocean, if you want to reach Gangotri, Yamunotri, if you want to reach the source of the river, you have to swim upstream. It's much easier to flow downstream. You don't have to do anything really to flow downstream. But you have to struggle to go upstream. The easy way is the way toward the ocean of birth and death. Janma mrityu jara vyadi. But if we want to reach the source, then it's very difficult. It's so difficult, it's impossible. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mami vami papadyate mayameta durandite. Krishna tells us material nature is conducted by three modes, the gunas, very difficult to overcome. But if one takes shelter of me, one can easily cross beyond it. Srimad Bhagavatam tells that this material existence, it's like a vast ocean. One who takes shelter of Krishna. To cross over it becomes like stepping over the amount of water in the hoof print of a calf. So we can't swim up this river without Krishna's grace. It's beyond us. But we should know the nature of this world unless we're taking shelter sincerely from our hearts with a real sense of urgency. Then we're going to be cast in darkness. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. Unless we, yeyatam mam prabhadyante tam stadaiva vajanyam, according to how we surrender to Krishna, that's how Krishna will reveal himself. Krishna is telling Uddhava that Brahma, knowing Krishna's mission, he's created this world to give people the opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead, from their forgetful condition. And Brahma teaches his disciples, Manu. Manu teaches it to Bhrigu Muni and the other great sages. And then Krishna tells Uddhava in this particular chapter that as time goes on, there are so many different kinds of people who are influenced by the different modes of Rajaguna, Tamaguna, Sattvaguna. People have various desires, various natures. They have different aspirations in life. And therefore, because of that, there are so many different versions and interpretations of what's actually good for people. Some people think what's really good for people is to make a lot of money. The economy. Have you heard that before? Politics. Get out and vote. There's truth to that, but it's a relative truth. There's relative truth on so many levels. Some people are feeling what's really good is take a lot of intoxication, enjoy as much sense gratification as you can, be as happy as you could be, and don't worry about the rest because you have to die anyway, and then everything's finished. People with that nature, they're going to speak. And they're actually thinking that they're doing good for humanity. This is what's really of welfare. So many versions to help the poor. To get a good education. To marry a nice wife. Or have a good husband. Or have so many nice children. To conquer, to have supernatural powers, to be elevated to heavenly planets where the sense gratification is far superior than anything we can imagine here. So in this way, there are so many different processes. And actually, all these different processes in the Vedas, we have a way of actually making advancement. Hiranyakashipu, he was a very, very materially intelligent person. He didn't get his powers by doing push-ups and sit-ups. He didn't even go to a gym. Hiranyakashipu worshipped Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And he didn't just speculate how to worship. There was a process. He understood the proper prayers, the proper tapasya, where to go, which holy place is the best suited.
Ravana, Kumbhakarna,
Suparnaka, along with Vibhishan, they all did tapasya together for thousands and thousands of years in a very holy forest on a mountain. And they were all following Vedic principles, worshipping Shiva. And if you read the prayers they offered to Shiva, they were very well versed in Sanskrit. Very poetic. Ravana, what did he ask for? He asked for all these heads and all these arms and being conquering all directions and never being... He was just asking for every possibility so he could conquer and enjoy. And Kumbhakarna was so gigantic. When he was about to ask for a benediction, the demigods understood if he doesn't even need any benedictions. He could devour all of us as he is right now. What to speak if he gets Brahma's benedictions? So somehow they tricked him. They sent Saraswati to go on his tongue. And when he was asked, "What do you want?" he said, "To sleep." So be it, that's all. You had your chance. So he went to sleep. And Suparnaka, what did she ask for? I'm not even going to describe that. And here's Vibhishan, who's in the same place, seeing the same devatas, did the same type of tapasya, and he's asking for pure, unalloyed devotional service to Lord Sri Ram and to be the servant of his servants forever. And he received that benediction. So we understand there's so many different states of mind in which we're approaching. The Vedas are like a desire tree. Nikama kalpataragali dampalam. And we find there are worship of so many different demigods for so many different purposes. And basically that's the principle of all spiritual paths throughout the world. We can approach them according to our conditioned state of consciousness. So Krishna is telling Uddhava that Lord Brahma... And gradually, as time went on, all these different interpretations and all these different sections of the Vedas are for various types of people. And Uddhava is asking the same kind of question you would probably read in the Times of India. Are they all the same? Are they all equally important, or is one more important than others? The second part may not be there. The Times of India. This idea of yatama tatapara, everything's the same, so it doesn't matter. And the reason is Uddhava is asking this question is so that Krishna will glorify the ultimate supreme perfection of all perfections. Prema bhakti, ecstatic love for Krishna.
Yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shravan bhajate yomam sameyukta tamamata.
Krishna tells, what is the perfection of yoga? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells the Ashtanga Yoga process. Krishna says, of all yogis, one who abides in me with transcendental faith, who worships me, he is most intimately united in yoga and the highest of all. Then there's Jnana Yoga. Bahunam janmanam mante jnanavam ampapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. Krishna tells, what's the perfection of jnana yoga? After many, many births of cultivating jnana, knowledge, when one finally comes to the platform of true knowledge, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulabh, one surrenders to Lord Vasudeva, knowing him to be all there is. Mayavesya manoye mam nitya yukta upashate shradaya paragopetas teme yukta tamahamataha. He whose mind is fixed on me, who's engaged in my loving service and worships me with all their hearts, that person is most perfect. Mamo petya punarjanma dukalayama shashratam naknavanti mahatmana samsidim paramam katha. Those great sages who take shelter of me, who are engaged in my loving service, who take refuge, they are freed from all the sufferings of birth, old age, disease, and death. And some siddhim, they are most perfect. They come to me. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokam eheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam kyatvamam shantim richchati. One who knows me to be the supreme, ultimate goal of all sacrifices and all austerities, who knows me to be the supreme lord of all the planets and all the demigods, to such a person, he attains true peace. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Sochati na Kankshati Samasaravesha Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is actually in that state of Brahma Bhuta, he has no desires. He laments nothing. He sees every living being with equal vision. Such a person engages in bhakti, in my devotional service, to worship him. So throughout the Vedic literatures, the culmination of all other paths is always is Krishna. Pure unalloyed devotional service, love of God. Mamchayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samaditaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One can rise above the modes of material nature by the mercy of Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva pajante mam buddha bhava saman. Krishna tells, I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engaged in my loving service and worship me with all their hearts. So every particular path there is in the Vedas, its culmination, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papi bhyo moksha yishami masucha, is to surrender to Krishna. That is what Uddhava is inspiring Krishna to speak. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us such hope. Because if somebody just tells you,
surrender.
That sounds very intense. I have to surrender. So in verse before, Krishna tells us how to surrender. So by the time he tells us to surrender, we actually know what we're supposed to do. And it's very sweet. It's very beautiful.
Krishna tells, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyashim nam namaskar. Mami vaishishi shatyam te pratijani priyoshime.
Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer your homage unto me. In this way, you will come to me without fail. That's what surrender means. To always think of Krishna. To do everything for Krishna.
And then he says, now abandon all varieties of religion and surrender.
And oh, yes, it's very nice.
Uddhava was surrendered to Krishna from his birth. And living in Mathura, he was considered to be the closest of all associates of Krishna. But because he was so dear to Krishna, Krishna sent him on a mission to Vrindavan so that he could understand the ultimate limits of love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he displayed his most intimate secret of his heart in the Gambira of Sri Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his external reasons for coming to this world were to establish the Sankirtan movement, the Yuga Dharma, to answer the prayers of Advaitacharya, who was crying for him to come out of compassion, and to fulfill his purpose, yada yada hi dharmasya, to come again and again to deliver the fallen souls. But his internal reason was to understand the sweet nature of Sri Radharani's love. Vedaham samatitani varatamanini chajana bhavashani chabutani mamtu vedana kashtana. Krishna knows everything. Everything in the past, everything in the present, all things that are yet to come. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vishto. He's in everyone's heart. He knows every desire. He knows every word, and he never forgets. There's nothing Krishna doesn't know. Except, what is the nature of Sri Radharani's love? What is the happiness she feels when she tastes the sweetness of my love? So this internal reason is why it's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially revealed in Jagannath Puri. So I invite everyone to our Jagannath Puri Yatra next week if you want to receive the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. And the ecstasies that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced and revealed confidentially has never been seen in the history of creation. He's exhibiting Sri Radha's love. And very interesting, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, time and again he describes the nature of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love. He was when Lord Chaitanya was in Gambira with Swarup Damodar Goswami Ramananda Rai, he was especially in the mood of Srimati Radharani at the time when Uddhava came to Vrindavan. That was the summit, the culmination, the highest
crescendo of Sri Radha's love when Uddhava came to Vrindavan. She was in her mood of viraha bhav, love and separation. Uddhava, not only did he witness it, but he was the cause of it on one level. Krishna manifested himself to the Brijavasis through Uddhava. Uddhava came with this message to pacify the Brijavasis. When Uddhava saw Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, you know, they're his uncle and aunt. He's Krishna's cousin, brother. They were so happy to see him. But just knowing that he came with a message from Krishna. Krishna, why doesn't he come himself? Mathura is not that far away. Why doesn't he come himself? Why does he send Uddhava? Will he ever return? How many times have you people in this room traveled from Mathura to Vrindavan? So many times. Why couldn't Krishna do that? Why he sends Uddhava and Akrura? Taken away. So Uddhava is coming and he's seeing Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai just thinking of Krishna. They're like mad. They can't do anything except remember Krishna in separation. Uddhava says to Nanda Maharaj, "You are so fortunate. I've never seen such transcendental, ecstatic attachment, absorption, and love for Krishna. Man manabhava matbhaktu, to always think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They can't think of anything else." And Nanda Maharaj chastises Uddhava. "What kind of ignorant child are you to say that I'm fortunate? Krishna was in my house. He's this, and I didn't even recognize or appreciate it. Now he's gone. Will he ever return?" Yashoda Mai is making garlands, making sweets, boiling milk with the hope and the expectation Krishna will come home. The gopas, some of them are just standing like statues. The only thing moving is the tears in their eyes, waiting for Krishna to return. And at Uddhava Kyari, near Nandagaon, that's where Uddhava met the gopis. He saw Sri Radharani. She's weeping so many tears that within seconds there's a whole pond of water. And then she faints and the heat of her body and the fever of separation from Krishna immediately evaporates all the water. And that's happening time again. A bumblebee comes flying by and Sri Radharani is taking the bumblebee to be a messenger of Krishna. His Holiness Gaura Govinda Maharaj tells story how as she's speaking to the bumblebee that my life force is like an animal. My body is like a house. And my separation from Krishna is like a blazing fire. So this animal is trapped in this house that's being burnt by a blazing fire. but I can't get out of the house because there's a bolt on the door. And that bolt is Krishna promised he would return. Let Krishna retract his promise so I could die. But as long as that promise stands, I can't get out. I have to be here. This is what Uddhava is witnessing. When he saw the nature of the total absorption of love that Sri Radharani, all the gopis and all the gopas had for Krishna, every cow, every calf, every buffalo, every goat, every peacock, their love for Krishna, their desire to please Krishna, was greater than all of the residents of the Yadu dynasty in Mathura. It was the ultimate culmination of bhakti. What was Uddhava's prayer? Some of us, we think, oh, let me be a gopi. Let me be a gopa. It's not cheap. If you take something cheaply, you can't really access that connection. This type of love is so high. We just bow our heads and honor its greatness and just try to be an insignificant servant of the servant to honor that love. And when we have that humility, Trinadavi Sunichena, then Krishna gives us that love. Sri Radharani, when she sees that we're eagerly, intensely, with all humility, giving our lives to serve her loving servants, she gives us that love. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. So Uddhava, seeing the crest jewel of all prema, Sri Radharani in her highest state of ecstatic love, he was so humbled. His prayer was to be a gulma lata, a little piece of grass. Not even a piece of grass. A gulma lata is kind of a weed. It's just like a little weed plant. Let me be like that near Govardhan Hill in the ground of Vrindavan. So that the cows and the bulls will step on my head with their hooves. And the gopas and the gopis, and maybe even Sri Radha, maybe someday, he wasn't even expecting that they would step on him. But he could be in a place where he could always be hoping and praying and waiting for that day when he could serve them nicely by taking the dust of their feet. In Gambira, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Sri Radharani when Uddhava was meeting her. And here is Uddhava. He knows what the ultimate perfection of life is. He's seen it. He's felt it. He's the most fortunate of anyone in the creation because he's seen it. And not only has he seen it, but he understands the value and totally humbles himself in the most humble way. Let me be a piece of grass to get the dust of the feet of the great souls. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, he invited Uddhava to come to live with him. Paramananda Puri. Krishna tells Uddhava in this chapter that those who love him, the great devotees, Krishna sends them to the world because the dust of the feet of the great Vaishnavas purifies the whole world. And Krishna tells Uddhava that I personally am striving to follow in the footsteps of those great devotees. I am subordinate. I am conquered by the love of my devotees. Bhaktya tvanyanya yashakya aham evam vidur janakyatam virastam cha tatvena praveshtam cha parantapa. Krishna tells, only by bhakti can I be understood as I am standing before you. Bhaktya mama vijanati yavan yascha smitatvata tatom. Krishna tells that only by bhakti can one attain my supreme abode. So those devotees who are teaching bhakti, who are living with bhakti, Krishna tells, I am conquered by them. So when Uddhava comes in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he comes as a senior. Paramananda Puri was the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, the godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's guru. Lord Chaitanya always honored him. Whenever they were taking prasad, he would take with Paramananda Puri. One time, Lord Chaitanya, when Paramananda Puri, who met Lord Chaitanya in South India, he went to Navadvip and lived with Sachi Devi while Lord Chaitanya was still on a South Indian tour. And when Lord Chaitanya returned to Puri and Kal Krishnadas was sent by the devotees to give the message, Lord Chaitanya is back after 2 years of traveling. He's back. Give the message to Sachi Devi and all the devotees headed by Adwaitan Srivas. As soon as that message came, Shivananda Sen and Adwaitacharya started planning the yatra to Puri. But Paramananda Puri couldn't wait. Immediately he left, with just taking one associate with him. And when he arrived, Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He personally arranged a residence close to the Gambira. And one day Lord Chaitanya came to Paramananda Puri's little monastery. And there was a well. For many, many years, that well was neglected. Lord Chaitanya saw the well. He said, is there nice water in this well? And Paramananda Puri said, it is terrible. You cannot drink it. You cannot even touch it. It's totally spoiled. Lord Chaitanya looked at the water in the well. And he said, just see how Jagannath is cheating us. Because this is Paramananda Puri's well. Anyone who touches or tastes the water of this well will get the supreme liberation of love for Krishna. And therefore, but now the water is so terrible that nobody will go near this water. Even Paramananda Puri. Lord Chaitanya started speaking into the well. He said, oh Lord Jagannath, let Mother Ganga flow into this well. Then Lord Chaitanya left. The well was the same. But that night, when everyone was sleeping, Mother Ganga filled up the well with pure nectarine sweet water, crystal clear. And the next morning, Paramananda Puri saw the well. What a miracle. Lord Chaitanya prayed to Jagannath that Mother Ganga would fill the well. Then Lord Chaitanya came and saw the water and was so happy. He gave a benediction. Anyone who tastes this water or touches this water from Paramananda Puri's well will be given ecstatic love for Krishna. That is the power of Paramananda Puri's love. This is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying Uddhava. Lord Chaitanya taught three processes through three of his most intimate associates. Through Swarup Damodar Goswami, he taught how to achieve the ultimate highest perfection by chanting the names of the Lord. Ramananda Rai by speaking the glories of the Lord. And especially Paramananda Puri by his total absorption in remembering the Lord. During the Ratha Yatra in Puri. I'm kind of practicing for the Puri. Because in my Ayurvedic treatment, I was given the order by the doctor, I was not allowed to read. I was not allowed to go outside. So I couldn't prepare very much. But during Ratha Yatra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the mood of Sri Radha when Krishna came to Kurukshetra. And Sri Radharani said to Krishna that you sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with the message that we should meditate on you. It's yoga. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, and then there's dhyana, meditation. So you sent Uddhava with the message that we should meditate on you. How could you do that to us? We're not yogis, we're gopis. We don't want to meditate on you. We want to serve you. We are helplessly drowning in the limitless ocean of separation from you. And we're being devoured by the timangala fish of our aspiration to serve you. And you're telling us to meditate. So here in this beautiful chapter that we'll be reading for the next couple weeks, Krishna will be speaking to the world through the compassionate heart of Uddhava about how the culmination of all dharma is bhakti. The culmination of bhakti is prema, ecstatic love. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaudatveshe Namo. Sri Rupa Goswami has revealed this is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's come to give this love. In the association of devotees who are truly in the spirit of the servant of the servant of the servant with grateful hearts, we learn how to pass through all the different circumstances of life aspiring to connect to that love. That love can never be achieved, never attained, but by our sincerity, by our service with no ulterior motives, by our honest and earnest efforts to hear about Krishna with an eager heart and taking shelter of the chanting of the holy names. This love is given. Rupa Goswami tells pure devotional service is very rare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna gives it easily if we're sincere, serious. And we chant the holy names and we serve the devotees and we relish Krishna Katha without ulterior motives. So we must be free from the egoistic tendencies that have plagued us birth after birth after birth. Because every aspiration except to please Krishna, sam siddhir hari toshinam, is simply a disturbance and a distraction. That baby is crying so nicely. Let us cry in that spirit. And today we have a very special announcement before our kirtan. We have with us one of Srila Prabhupada's very dear, most confidential, intimate associates, Yadubar Prabhu. Hare Krishna. He and his blessed wife, Vishakha Devi, were at Prabhupada's side for many years. And they were given the mission by Srila Prabhupada to create films and movies to spread Krishna consciousness. And Yadubar Prabhu, his life's culminating mission really was in this wonderful film about Srila Prabhupada. And it opened in theaters in most major cities of the world. If any of you had seen it, such a breathtaking, heart-melting experience to see Srila Prabhupada speaking, emanating his loving compassion on gigantic movie screens. It's very special. And now Yadubar Prabhu is in India giving that same movie in translations of all the languages of India. Yadubar Prabhu, please tell us what you want us to do and about this wonderful devotional service of yours.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for inviting us again to Radha Gopinath Mandir. It's always an unforgettable experience. I'm very happy to announce that we have the English edition of the DVD of the film. That'll be available today downstairs. Previously, this was only released in America at quite a high price. I wanted to release it at a lower price, but then Amazon.com would not allow that. Any DVD that's first released, they must charge $25. So we have it at a fifth of that price available. It has 17 languages subtitled, including Hindi. Our goal actually in India for the next 5 or 6 months is to make this movie go viral. And to do that, we want to release in all the eight major languages of India. And we'll release as we finish each language, we'll release that on DVD. We'll go to that major city where that language is spoken, to our ISKCON center, and have a release. We just did that with a Gujarati DVD in Ahmedabad on Ram Vijay Festival. And the chief minister of Gujarat officially launched the DVD. So those DVDs released in those languages will only sell for 100 rupees. And that's quite cheap compared to other places in the world. But that will only be in that particular language. And you put the DVD in the player, and it plays. There's no menu, there's no selection of languages or subtitles. It's very simple, so even a villager can understand how to view the film. Also, those DVDs will not be copy guarded, because we can't be everywhere with distribution. And if somebody really wants to see the film, they can easily copy it. We don't tell them that. But anyway, we just told a large group of people Hare Krishna. So we want to make Prabhupada, he's already understood amongst the devotees of ISKCON and many others, that he's the preeminent ambassador of India's spiritual culture in the world. So we want to make that well known through the film. Our experience with the film is that the viewers connect with Srila Prabhupada on a very emotional level. That's true. All films hope to do that. They hope to draw out the emotions of the audience. So we've seen amazing things over the past year and a half after release of the film. Just recently, one person came up to me and he said, I think it was at a Sunday feast, he got a full plate of prasadam. Then they turned on the film. At the end of the film, he looked down and his full plate was untouched. So this is absorption. Some of you may think, why is this person glorifying his own film? But actually, this is the contribution of hundreds of people. Actually, if you look at the credits, there's over 300 individuals and companies who are participated in the making of the film. So please take advantage of this offer. Srila Prabhupada said, asked us to make Krishna conscious films the most popular films. And you can certainly help in that endeavor. If you're a leader in ISKCON and you have groups of people that you address, then we can offer a discount at bulk order. So we'll be downstairs at the table, so please come and visit, and we can discuss. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Please express our gratitude to Yadubar Prabhu. And we also have very illustrious special guest, Her Grace Mondakini Devi. I think many of us know her incredible story of surrender to the loving service of Srila Prabhupada. After Srila Prabhupada, she was the first devotee to go behind the Iron Curtain to preach Krishna consciousness in Russia. She truly risked her life. She was just a young girl. Prabhupada gave her that instruction. to go alone. And by carrying Prabhupada's divine grace, now there's tens or hundreds and thousands of devotees in Russia. Could we give microphone to Mandakini Devi so you can briefly tell the story?
Hare Krishna. Should I tell the story of Prabhupada? What would you like me to tell?
Whatever you like to do.
just to give an idea how the preaching is going on in Russia.
Now tell about you. how Prabhupada came to give you the instruction to go there.
Okay. It was in the first temple of London, the Severnbury Place Temple, in the association of so many wonderful devotees, our London heroes, these three couples, Shyamasundar Prabhu, Malati Prabhu, Yamuna and Gurudas, and Mukunda and Janaki. And it was such a creative spirit. Devotional service was just like an adventure at every second. It was never boring, but we were told how to use our creativity. If we had any little bit of intelligence, whatever Krishna was lending us, to use it for Krishna's service. And service was really a spiritual adventure, full of joy. And we can feel that mood in this temple, amongst the congregation. So, little me, I was just coming with two other friends. And at one point, Yamuna had left to go to India with the first devotees. Prabhupada took 20 devotees to India. Yadubara Prabhu was there, and he used to call his first devotees his white elephants. Like we have this proverb in French that if you take an elephant to the China shop, it's going to be a disaster. So at that time, the first devotees, they went into the China shop of a Vaishnava etiquette, and devotees were really new and made some mistakes, and Srila Prabhupada had to take the blame. Prabhupada was such a pure, wonderful Vaishnava. He had to take the blame for the first devotees. Devotees were so hungry, sometimes they stole some sweets, and the shopkeepers, they used to come to Srila Prabhupada. Why are they doing that? If they ask, we would just give them. And Prabhupada used to say, please forgive them. They're just very neophyte. They're just like monkeys. So I was the second generation. I was also like a monkey. But by the association of these wonderful devotees, I got a strong taste. And alone in the temple in Bury Place, trying to serve a beautiful Sri Sri Radhanandanishvara, I read in some Prabhupada's purport a very extraordinary sentence that if the spiritual master is asking you to do something a little difficult, and if you can say yes to him, you will make a great spiritual progress. And I became very excited and enthusiastic, and I ran to Shri Radhanandanishvara, and Srila Prabhupada said about them that Krishna has cheated you. He didn't come as a Murti, he came himself. So by that time, I could realize that these Murtis were so powerful. And I just went to pray to Shri Radhanandanishvara and ask them, "You're so bright, so clever. You can make anything happen. Can you just make it that Srila Prabhupada is going to ask me to do something a little difficult? But please, please, can you help me to remember to say yes?" To make things short, Prabhupada was actually coming from Moscow. We didn't know anything about it. It was very secret because the police, the KGB, was making a lot of trouble against any spiritual renewal. So he came, and one time somebody told me, "Srila Prabhupada is waiting for you upstairs. Can you come?" And I got quite fearful. I thought I've made some mistake in my service. So I came and I knocked on the door, and Srila Prabhupada's voice, very beautiful voice, I could hear him saying, "Come in." So I came in and offered my obeisances. Shyamasundara was standing just beside Srila Prabhupada. And he motioned to come closer. So I came closer. And I always remember it the same way, in a very normal voice, with a big smile, the way he would ask me to get potatoes across the street. He just asked, "Mandakini, would you like to go to Russia and to marry this boy, Anatoly? And by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, help to spread the mission there." And for half a second, I got shocked because at the time I didn't want to get married. But I remembered my prayers, so very, very quickly I looked at him and I told him, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." And his smile increased, and it was called later an oceanic smile. And he told Shyamasundara, "Prabhu, please do help, do the needful." And then that wonderful saga started by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Shri Radhanandanishvara and the devotees.
Let us, with very grateful, enthusiastic hearts, welcome Mandakini Devi. Thank you very much.
Nama Vishnu Pataya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimad